One of you with us this evening. I trust that the Lord's given you a good nap today. I hope every one of you got a nap. It wanted one. Some of you needed beauty sleep. Others not so much. Some of you more than others. Look like some of you got up just a little bit too early. But anyway, it's good to be back in the Lord's house this evening. We're going to get a ministry update from Brother Key here in just a minute. But before you get started tonight, I want you to pray for Miss Donna. As you saw, Brother Dennis and Miss Donna had to slip out of here. Miss Donna's just not feeling well. So you pray for that couple as they leave. I had prayer with them on the way out. But you pray with them, pray for them when you have a time of prayer. I appreciate that. I'm sure they will as well. There's many things on our heart tonight. Miss Ginger's sister passed, as you well know. I told you this morning. I've been trying to announce that. But her sister's funeral is coming up this Wednesday at noon at Evans Funeral Home in Lenore. Let's pray for Miss Ginger and pray for her family during this time of loss. And then Brother James is going to be going back to the doctor. Where's James at? I'm looking for him. James, you went all the way to the back, son. Brother James will be going to the VA, and he's facing some surgery coming up. Pray for him. They put off his cardiac catheter ablation for other more important reasons, and just pray that the doctors will get to the bottom of James's problems. And then there's a host of other folks in here tonight that needs prayer. Madison, good to see you here tonight, honey. You up from the coast, and it's good to have you here. Everybody's here tonight. I pray God will bless you. The Lord's got a message on my heart. We're going to try to share it with you here just a short time from now. Brother Key, you come on up here and just share with the crowd. We're going to switch over, Clay, to the pulpit mic. Take the service here. You got it? There you go. Y'all pray for Brother Larry. He and Miss Marlene are in and out. They just happen to be in right now. It's good to see them. Go tell us about Jesus, brother. Tell us what's going on.
Amen. It's good to be back in my home church tonight. Amen. We appreciate every opportunity we get, but it's good to come back home and kind of update you a little bit on what took place. We just got back in from prison in Florida this week. Had a good time down there preaching to young people. I want to say, first of all, to the church, thank you for your helping Brother Chris to be able to go with me. He was a real blessing to us this week. I'm not even going to pick on him tonight, but he was a real blessing to us this week, and I appreciate having him there. Brother Robbie, thank you for giving him time off to go help me. I mean, that was a blessing. I started out on the week down. I had some tendonitis in my shoulder. I couldn't hardly move my shoulder. His brothers helped me drive, and that was a real blessing. We had a good time there. We had seven young people that give their heart to the Lord, and we thank God for that. We did have some that wanted to fuss and cuss and fight with us, and the devil wants to magnify those in your mind that's fussing and cussing and stuff, but I'll be honest with you. I hesitate to tell this if you didn't know me and stuff, but 15 kids in our service, we had seven get saved this week, so that's the reason the devil's fighting. The reason I say I hesitate, if you don't know us, you think we just go down there and sign them up, and but we don't do that. The guys work with me know that. We deal with their hearts. We tell them what true repentance is. Without true repentance, there is no true salvation. But the Lord blessed and helped us. But some of them just want to butt heads and fight with us and stuff. And my mind went back to the verse of Scripture. Now, I'm not going to take much time, preach, but I did want to read a verse or two of Scripture. The verse that God called me to the young people was Psalms 78, verse number 4. Many of you know this. It says, "We will not hide them from their children, show unto the generation to come the praises of the Lord, His strength, His wonderful works that He hath done." That's the verse that God called me to these young people. Sometimes the reason that we butt heads and we have all that trouble and stuff is they don't know any better. They've never been taught right. And the purpose of Psalm 78 and 4 is that they wouldn't do what Psalm 78, verse number 8 says, "And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God." We won't get mad at sinners for sinning, but that's what you're going to do. Some of these kids have never been taught anything. They don't know anything about the Word of God. They don't know how to read. Some of them can't even read page numbers in the Bible. And my heart on that is, I would challenge you tonight. If you're a young person in here and you got a mom and daddy that corrects you, and you got a mom and daddy that teaches you right, you got a mom and daddy that takes you to the house of God, I don't think it'd be out of order at all. If you get up right now, just hug mom and daddy's neck and said, "Thank you for wiring me out. Thank you for putting some rules in my life. Thank you for some correction in my life." If you've seen these kids that we see, and the world calls them throwaway kids, and the world don't care anything about them, put them out of sight, put them out of mind. I'm talking, we preach to kids that murder mamas and daddies. We preach to kids that have attacked and sexually molested their own siblings and their own homes and families and stuff. It's nothing but the grace of God. If you got a mom and dad that loves you and teaches you right, you ought to thank God for them. That's the youngs that we try to reach, try to make a difference in their heart and their life. And I don't say that to put it down or on. We ought to rejoice tonight. If we're saved, if you're a young person, you saved, a mom and dad takes you to church, you ought to thank God if you have a treasure. You'll see it the older you get, the more you'll see that. But the Lord sure did bless in our meeting this week. We thank God for it. Had an officer that wanted to talk to me, and God was dealing with him. He got under conviction. He's doing push-ups on the wall and stuff in there. And he's talking about his mama had told him he needed to get back in the Bible. He said, I'm scared of getting the Bible. And I dealt with him one night, and his home's in a mess. His marriage is getting messed up. And he said, Preacher, I just want you. He said, I don't want to get saved. I just want you to pray for peace. He said, well, I said, I can't do it. He said, what do you mean you can't? I said, God wouldn't hear that prayer. You want me to pray for peace and you reject the Prince of Peace? It don't work that way. I said, I'll tell you what I will pray. I'll pray that God gets you to the place where you hate your sin enough that you would call out to him. And he said, well, whatever. So we prayed for him, and he's supposed to see me the next night. Some things happened. I didn't get a chance to talk to him. But the seed of the Word of God was planted in his heart. To put a King James Bible in his hand, give him some gospel tracts, and let him know that he'll never have peace in his home without God in his heart. Amen. That's what it takes to put homes back together, make the difference. So continue to pray. A lot of seed was sown. There was two boys in particular that give us a fight, and they sit back there and make like they're shooting us and everything else. And the reason they're doing all that, the Holy Ghost getting a hold of them. So I'm praying that he'll give them a double dose of it. They won't be able to sleep. They won't be able to get peace. They'd die and go to hell. They remember in the charcoal walls of hell, they remember cussing them preachers. But I don't want that for them. I want to see them get saved. Amen. God's still able to turn around. May go back next time. And they're fired up for God. We've seen that before. But do help us pray. You know, church, I've told you about trying to get some prisons open in Georgia. It's been like butting heads. We got the one that we've been doing in Georgia. We did get to go to another. And I told you about that the other day down in Eastman, Georgia. While we were there, God showed up. I think it was three young people got saved. The lady that's over the volunteers coming in, she called another place. And I told you this last time, I believe. She called another place and got us in there when we go back. But there's one more. A piece of good news. When I called her the other day to give her the dates for the upcoming year, that's what we're working on our scheduling now. She said, as a matter of fact, there's another administrator over another juvenile place. She said, I was telling her the other day about the revival, how good it went. And said, that woman said, I want them in my prison. This ain't odd, it's God. It's not a coincidence, it's providence. That same lady, I tried to get in that prison, and it seemed like we were going in, and the door was slammed shut. But guess what just happened? God opened the door back up. That's my God, amen. So help us pray. We're getting ready to go the 1st of November. There's a prison in North Carolina we go to. It's one of our great, many of you guys have been with us down there, and God bless us tremendously. But the last 2 years, we've not been able to go in. Some things going on. Praise the Lord. In a couple of weeks, good Lord willing, we're headed back in there and see what God will do again. Amen. So you just pray for us that the Lord help us getting the schedules for next year and things. But just thank you, church. Thank you for supporting me. I said it the other day, and it means from my heart, the greatest thing that you've ever gave me is a place to come back home to that's stable and steady. It's not washed out or wishy-washy. It's not come here throwing stuff at each other, not fussing and fighting. The church that loves each other. Thank you for everything you've done for me. But the greatest thing you ever done for me is give me a stable home, church, so I can come back home. I love you, preacher.
I believe we'd all say amen to that. Amen. I believe we've got one of the hardest working missionaries in the world. I don't mean North Carolina either, I mean the world. And I appreciate Brother Key. If you've got a copy of God's Word tonight, we're going to start out in the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tonight, and then we'll be going over to the book of Acts, and we'll stay either probably in one of the two places predominantly, but I'm going to quote a whole lot of Scripture. The Bible tells me to preach the Word. It doesn't tell me to preach my opinion. It tells me to preach the righteousness and the holiness of God, so that's what we'll try to do tonight. If you're here tonight and you call yourself a visitor, I trust that somebody's already made you feel welcome, because truly you are. I would to God that everybody would come back. They don't. I don't understand where they go. Every night between Sunday morning and Sunday night, we lose a whole host of people, but I'm just going to preach to the ones that are here. I want to tell y'all something. It was funny whenever I walked in, there was just two people in here at that particular time. One of them's name was Brenda Dotson, and the other one's name was Jeanette Dow, and they were standing right here, so they were the only ones in here. And if y'all look at them, they're both wearing a kind of an orange color pumpkin looking top. And I got my Bible, and I come up here and said, all right, I'm preaching on sin, and one of you women wearing orange tonight needs to get in this altar. Well, I'm telling you what. Jeanette didn't miss a beat. She said, Brenda, get in that altar. And I said, all right, them two ladies are both going to kill me. See, Marlene's not the only one that gets in, or Dean, or anybody else. Everybody going to get it. You'll get your turn. And then Mary Sluter come in. I said, I'm preaching to the one wearing purple tonight. And she probably already took that purple off. Where is Miss? There she is. Yeah. Stand to your feet before we get in trouble. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, remember how to do that whenever I'm trying to preach. I'm going to need your help. Are you tonight in a place that everything that you look at, you see Christ in it? If you're not, try to get there. I mean, if I told him in the Sunday school class when Brother Kenny was trying to preach today, If you go outside at the midnight hour and look up into the firmament, you'll see God. If you were one of them that would go down and see the Marlowe babies, those twin little girls, about 4 pounds and 15 ounces and 4 pounds and 11 ounces, I think it was. They're both here, both healthy. Mama's doing good. She's got a little complication with some fever and some infection, but God's just blessing down there. But if you go down there, you were one fortunate enough to look in the face of one of them little twins, you'd have to know right away there's a God. So if you don't see God in everything, look for God in something. Please do that for me. Look for God in something. Look for Him in a flower. Look for Him in the changing of the fall foliage and leaves. Look for Him somewhere. Look for God. Look for God in the healing of somebody that was one time diagnosed with a brain tumor. And then all of a sudden the doctor said, I think it's just shadowing. I don't think there's anything there at all. And what you've got is non-malignant, or what you've got, don't worry about it. Come back in 6 months or a year. When you see that stuff, when you look at Brother Kim over there, whose hands wouldn't even close a week ago, but now he can make a fist and ball. Look at God in the things that really matter. Look at God in your preacher's life. How that he would take a sinner on his way to hell. Put a little preach inside of him. Give him a love for people. Put a little Jesus on the inside, brother. That, look around. You'll see God in everything. He's everywhere. He said He's nowhere absent. We preached the other night on the omnipotence, the omniscience, and the omnipresence of Almighty God. He's everywhere. He's all-powerful. He's everywhere. He's nowhere absent. Tonight I want you to look at this because everybody doesn't see God. They see coincidence. They see happenstance. They see circumstance. They see goodwill. They see good fortune. They see luck. Man, he's awful lucky. I've seen people, Brother Tim, come out of a collision and wonder how in the world. We just had a mail carrier that got hit. I mean, took the whole side of the car off. I'm talking about the whole side of the car is gone. But you realize that there was two people in that car. The carrier was training another carrier. And you know where mailmen sit? They sit on the other side. That car took off the whole, what to me and you would be the driver's side. Brother Tam, that logging truck hit them and took the whole side of that car off. And they all walked away, not even a scratch. You say, well, how's that happen? I have to say somebody's prayed up. See, some people just thought, he's lucky. That boy was lucky. He's lucky he didn't get killed. Bless God, there is a God in heaven. And you won't leave here if a logging truck hits you head on if it's not your time to go. You're going to go when God said. But I want you to look for God. Look for God in the things that make a difference. Look for God in the ways that we should tonight. We're here in the fourth chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians tonight. And I'm going to read just about maybe five verses. And then we're going to go over, while you're still standing, to the book of Acts. And I want to read just a little bit there. So we start off, and it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And then we go over to the book of Acts, in chapter number 26. Acts 26. So while you're finding Acts 26, I'm going to read those two verses again. If the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God, that's a little g, it's not the big G. It said, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, in the book of Acts, chapter number 26, just to catch you up, lest we have to read a whole chapter, Paul is standing before King Agrippa. And Paul is giving his testimony. He's giving his discourse. He's telling what's going on. He's telling about how that in verse number 26, 12, 13, 14, how that the Lord of hosts shined a light into his life. They heard the voice from heaven. He said, I heard the voice. And here we go. And we're going to pick up the reading in verse number 15. And he said, I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both unto these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. And I want you to hear this, because this will be one of the two text verses tonight. He said, he's telling Paul, I have sent you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So we will stop there. I'm going to ask Brother Tam Cheek to bless our scripture reading, and then you may be seated. Condemnation, even so, that by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You say, what's the last one, preacher? But it's kind of, if I could just show you tonight that the help of the Savior, it's not just good for Varun Patel, but bless God, the help from the Savior, it's good for whoever is sick. They that are sick need not a physician, that are whole need not a physician, but they which are sick, Brother Larry, we're sick and steeped in sin. And bless God, we need the great physician.
Right.
We need the great physician. Amen. Are you all right, son? You all right? You all right? Everybody all right tonight?
Amen.
I want you to know something. If I could show you heaven and this sweetness therein, you'd want to be saved.
Amen.
If I could show you hell and the torments therein, you'd want to be saved. If I could show you the holiness of Christ, you'd want to be saved. If I could show you all the things I just preached about, and surely if I could show you where your help comes from, you'd want to get in on that. You would. And you know, Cindy and I, since every house we buy, we got to make it ours, y'all. And this is no stranger. You buy a house, you make it yours. You said that house that you bought had just been painted when you bought it. Yeah, it had been. I had one room that was about this color. Maybe about the color of this brother's shirt. We had one room about that color. We had another room about the color of Miss Mary's top. Now, I don't know. Maybe that's your thing. But we wanted to paint. Right? So I could just call any jackleg with a brush and a bucket to come in there and just look like about like Chris painted it. Or I can call somebody who knows what they're doing. So what I do, I call somebody who knows what they're doing. You say, well, who are you going to call when it comes down to your life and eternity? When it comes down to the end of the road and judgment? When it comes down to the end of the road and heaven? Or it comes down to the end of the line and hell? When it comes down to the end of the line and it's unrighteousness or righteousness? When you come down to the end of the line, it's turmoil, disruption, depression, and all the anxiety and all the angst that goes along with that, or a life of peace. Which would you choose? I'm choosing peace. I'm choosing the Prince of Peace. I'm choosing heaven. I'm choosing righteousness. I'm choosing moral uprightness. It costs you nothing to be a good person. It costs you nothing to do right. It costs you nothing to live holy. It costs you, say, well, you got to tithe if you live. Get away from that. That's a form of worship. I get to give back to God.
Amen.
For what he gave to me. That's not a burden to me. I get to give back to him. So which would you choose? If I were to go back and recap, and I'm not going to go read our scripture again. The Bible said that the God of this world hath blinded the hearts. It goes back to what you always preach, Brother Kenny. It's not up here. It's in here. You said, well, does it start in here? That's where the conscience of a man's at. The Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible said in the book of Nehemiah, so built we the wall after 52 days, for the people had a mind to work. But so many people have got their salvation up here. I'll just do right, live right, think right, talk right, be right, treat my wife right, be good and do this and do that. My friends, you've got to get it out of here and get it into here. God talks about a circumcision not made by hands. In that, he took out the stony heart and he put in a heart of flesh. One that could be written upon. One that could be molded and manipulated and fixed and made whole. So tonight as we close out, Brother Scott comes and Miss Macy comes back to the piano.